Hi, this is President Trump with a special message for fans of Drake and Scott. Everyone needs to settle down, cool off, literally calm your tits, and don't make a fool of yourself. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Are you seeing his face? He was so pleased with that.
I'm not even looking at him.
But I mean,
I refuse to.
His level of self-satisfaction with that clip was just off the charts.
Yeah, I worked really hard on that one.
Clearly you did.
I refuse to reward bad behavior.
Oh, there's a dad in the room.
Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We talk about anything and everything on this show. And if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or we're not listening.
Or you're not. I'm Brian.
No, we're not listening after that intro.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. Across the table, we got Ziggy. How's it going, Zig?
How's it going, brother?
To my right and your left is Coach. How are you, Coach?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Anything going on lately?
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, where do we start? I'm not sure.
Crazy on the way?
Yeah, I guess. It's a special Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach today, by the way. No commercials. I asked to get the commercials dropped so we could just focus on the current topic. It's episode 102. And, let's start with crazy on the way. Silly things that happened to us on the way to the studio or in the days prior. And I understand, Scott and Coach, you have a dual crazy on the way that...
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I almost killed Scott on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain to us how this happened.
Well, you know, of course...
I was running from the cops.
Doing, you know, I don't know, 85 and a 30. And, you know, I was about to pull onto the road, and I saw his little roller skate of a car coming, and I was like, you know I can make it out in front of him. And my foot did a little twitchy thing on the accelerator. And I went, no, Scott gets to live another day. So, and the Cybertruck would have got there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, you know, and that's I love Scott and didn't want to play roulette with his life. So,
and this was literally a block away from where we are right now, right?
Well, it's, he's only
the recording
on
studio. Yeah, we were, and I love how accurate Coaches all the time with his descriptions.
All the time. Okay.
Never exaggerates anything.
What is your side of the story?
Well, it's all of the above. Just maybe some of the numbers he used might be a little bit off.
You think?
I was going to make that light, and we did. So well, he's just mad because I beat
him. By the grace of Coach, you did.
Yeah.
But we all, when he's, especially when he's driving the roller skate, it's, and again, you know, he lives very close now, so.
Yeah.
And he's still, you know, if he doesn't hit 85 miles an hour in that one block, I don't think he feels right. His day isn't complete.
There you go.
Well,
no, the powers that be are trying to get me. They try to make that light. I got one light I got to go through, and they try to make it turn red on me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no, not today.
Have you tried leaving 10 minutes early?
No, that's
it's okay to show up early to places.
It's not a thing. It's totally inefficient. It's bad for gas mileage and the environment.
He doesn't want to have to slow down at all between his house and here.
Leave early.
It's not about that. It's the unnecessary stopping, and then you got to sit at a light.
Well, just ignore it.
All it had to
just
do
blow through.
Is wait one more second.
He pretty much did.
You know what you should do? You should go out and watch the light and time it. So it turns red on these times, it turns green on these times, and then you can calculate your departure to make sure you hit it when it turns green.
Yeah, I think if they had times like that, then you could do that.
But the lights are on timers. They're consistent timers.
No, they're not. They got a sensor that recognizes my car.
Oh, just his car specifically.
It's just like Southwest Airlines.
They just target him, yeah.
You know, because they see him coming. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The sensors in the ground say, here comes the roller skate. What happens when you drive the other car?
Same thing, bigger car.
Make the light. They have all his cars on. I'm telling you, they see him coming.
They know who I am for
sure. Southwest Airlines sees him coming. The lights see him coming.
And, I got even with Southwest.
Tell him something, right?
Mm-hmm. You got even with Southwest
last week. I got even with.
How'd you do that?
No, you didn't.
I booked with someone else.
Ooh, there's a first.
You coach, you whine at me all the time.
I don't whine at you
about
at all.
If I don't like
Southwest Airlines, in fact, worst I'm gonna fly airlines here very shortly.
Then why do you keep booking with them? I was like, yeah, you're right. I went compared.
I was right.
I found a flight on American. Uh-huh. Same price.
There you go.
Same price.
There you go.
Assigned seating.
There you go.
And they actually on the website as I'm booking it, they show like you're gonna have a port for this, a plug for that. You're gonna all these little
schmancy
gizmos. So
where
take that South Worst Airlines, huh?
How long's the flight?
It's there's two flights. I got to stop over and
I don't do stopovers.
Few hours.
I don't ever do stopovers.
Well, the place I'm going, you can't fly direct. Okay. You have to go to a hub and then get there from there.
Nice.
And I would say where it is, but then the authorities they'd be waiting for me when I arrived at the terminal.
It's true.
So I got a crazy on the way, where I work. The neighbor shows up, knocks on the door, and says, "Hey, your tree fell in our yard." And there's a massive oak tree out in the back,
mm-hmm.
and this thing fell. I couldn't believe it. It's like 12 inches diameter,
bigger.
Yeah. Oh, you guys all saw it. And this thing fell, and it didn't take out anything. It didn't damage anything.
By the grace of God.
I think the big guy is on my company's team or something because it missed the fence.
I really hope he is.
I mean, the jury's still out, right? But missed the fence, missed all the other plants and shrubbery stuff around it, and then didn't hit anything of value. No person was hurt.
The fence was unscathed.
Yes. Actually, I take that back. Someone was hurt. I was hurt when they gave me the quote for when the tree guy told me what it's going to cost to remove that thing.
That's not true. That was a really good quote.
That was a good quote, but it still hurt a little.
But wait a minute, though. Why are you paying it?
He
owns the tree.
I coordinated the repair, and so we were negotiating, and he threw the number, and I was like, oh.
Okay, but then you get to pass that number on to the landlord, right?
Yeah, and I'm not personally paying it.
Right, okay.
But it did make me want to go into tree care. Like I might be able to make more money than I'm making now.
You know,
that was a great price.
No, it's a great price. But, I mean, that kind of labor is expensive.
I almost think we should shout out to that company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Proficient Tree.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing. We watched them work.
Yeah, they were working really well.
They had a crew.
Doing a good job.
Professional.
They're gonna do all the trees. I'm telling you.
Yeah, so so
that's a good
Scott's
price.
Third T stands for tree today.
All right. Well, my crazy on the way is not so crazy. I went with my wife and my folks to go see the new Downtown Abbey movie yesterday. And
it's Downton, by the way.
Downton, I know. Yeah. But I like to say downtown because I always get responses like that. And when I do, I like to talk about my other favorite show, Star Trek. Downtown. And
downtown. With Princess Leia.
That's right. And
Hans Solo.
That's right. So we went to see it at a theater in Brentwood, a very nice theater, great seats. And suddenly I realized that, gee, I'm really in a retirement community because everybody coming in was just old. And it was like my wife and I were the youngest people there.
Did it have to do with the movie you were seeing?
It might have had something to do with the movie, yeah. But it's like, gee,
I really don't have any desire to.
It's a good show. I mean,
what's the premise?
It was a double feature. They
it, it,
they did a reboot of the Waltons right after.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's just down there.
Yeah. Why is there so many old people here?
You're not, John boy.
But
what's the premise of
it's just the drama surrounding a family in post-Edwardian England, and it's absolutely nothing that you would think I would like. But my wife started watching the show, and I got sucked into it, and then they came out with the movies, and it's like, well, yeah, let's go see the movies. And they're all...
Do you watch the show?
I saw the show from season four to the end. I didn't see the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
So I there's a lot that I have to fill in, but it's just...
How many seasons are there?
Like six, I think. Jeez. And then three movies. It's just...
Wait, there's three movies?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... wow. And then this third one yesterday was the finale, was officially the series ending, and it was just... it was a nice afternoon, time well spent amongst retired people that apparently all live in Brentwood. So it's...
So next week you can go watch the Brady Bunch movie and the Three's Company movie and...
I could, I guess. I
mean, maybe they'll reboot Happy Days.
You say all that like there's something wrong with it. I mean, it harkens back to a time in the world where everything made sense, which is an odd segue to get into.
I don't know. I'm not sure that time ever existed.
I think you're right. Yeah. But it just seemed like I would sure prefer to be back there than where we are currently. But I don't know.
You know, there's another crazy though. I'm always asking, where's dad?
Yeah.
We found a dad this week.
Okay, you talk about that. I got to fix my microphone.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll fix my microphone in a bit.
I think that's a really important...
Okay. Well, you guys got to help me out. I plan today to come in here all full of fire and brimstone, and let's start the car bombing, the back shooting, and the tomahawking, and settle this thing once and for all with the left. And suddenly, I'm not there. So
good for you.
Yeah, I guess.
No, because you know what?
Your heart is softening?
No, it's just I'm part Irish and part Croatian, so I understand sectarian violence more than average. Because you know, when someone's coming in to take your country, you don't talk to them; you just whack them.
Hold on, time out.
What
he said? Whack them.
Sectarian violence. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it. Basically,
that's when the secretary gets.
No,
violent.
No.
I mean, I had a violent secretary once.
So no, it's just it's violence between groups in a particular country, or you know, religious, political, whatever it is. Mm. It's just you've got one side and the other, and they're both fighting. Ireland, for example, the Balkans was a big one.
One sect versus another sect.
Okay. Yeah.
And even the secretaries are violent.
That's right.
There you go.
The secretaries are running the guns. Yeah. And it's been the last couple of days has been a real war between what I think the response ought to be and what I know what the response ought to be. And it's just, so now I'm coming in here a little mellow, and that's why I kind of had Mr. Trump say, everybody calm your tits, because it's just,
wow. We had to say that again.
Yeah. It's just a little volatile right now.
You know, we haven't stated it. We need to state it.
Yeah. So, why don't you?
So for me, this is all about Charlie Kirk, and as we know, I'm a kind of a wilting flower and very gentle in nature, you know what? I think we need to honor Charlie, and what would he want?
Well, they shot the guy that wanted to talk.
No, you know, he's up there looking down at us, and what would he want our response to be? And you know what?
Would Charlie do?
No, I'm not kidding. You know,
I know, seriously.
It's like, you know what? Everybody wants to talk about hate. And, you know, Charlie was so full of love. I don't think there's nothing, and I've been listening to him probably longer than anybody in this room.
You've listened to him more. Now, I know who he was, and I knew his name, but I really hadn't listened to him. So my knowledge of his philosophy, other than the basics, is not very high. So you're the one who's really going to have to help me understand a little bit more.
I've been watching this stuff for six years.
Yeah.
This is a kid who dropped out of college, started this Turning Point USA in his garage.
At the age of 18.
At the age of 18, and made it something that changed the face of
the planet.
Politics and the planet.
And you know, of course, in your sectarian thing, everybody wants to make it about left versus right, and this, you know, it's funny because his base always was God and Jesus Christ, and that was first and foremost, and the political stuff was second, a very close second, but still second. And his message was all love. He didn't preach hate in any way, shape, or form, but he wasn't shy about taking on very, very difficult topics. And he was the guy. Hey, let's talk about it. And you know, the problem in this country right now is we don't have enough discourse. And really, this wasn't first and foremost, this wasn't shooting Charlie Kirk. This was killing free speech. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one side of it. He was definitely an iconic figure, and I would say less political from my view. He was more of a, I mean, you could call him conservative, but he was a dialogue. He was a logician. He made sense, and he wanted to talk about things in a way that would make sense. How do you protect those who can't protect themselves? Mm. How do you secure an existence for Americans to buy a home, get married, have a job, raise kids, and do it in a way that's safe and that makes sense? And he spoke out against the right and Republicans plenty of times. He was not,
didn't agree, of course.
He was not big government for sure, but he tends to upset people because he makes so much sense that they don't have an answer for him. And he would do debates on college campuses and let people ask whatever they wanted. He would set the microphone down just let them talk.
Love that. Used to love that. And he's done that forever from the beginning. And he would do that so he wouldn't interrupt them. He literally sets the mic down and sits back in his chair and lets you have your, you know, and everybody wants to talk about the interrupting thing. And it's like, and it wasn't him. And he would set his mic down for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he did it in Cambridge. He did it at Oxford. He did it at all the universities here.
Oh, hundreds of universities.
But he went across the pond. He did it over there.
Yeah, absolutely. But some people refuse to let others have a different opinion than theirs. And when he makes enough sense and won't change his opinion because no one's made sense of why he should change his opinion, they can't handle it. And yep. When you keep getting no, some people resort to violence. You know, they don't like him, and that's why some people are celebrating his death and applauding the assassin. And it's tragic because we're promoting things that he was trying to solve. Let's have less violence
and
discourse. Let's sit down and smile at each other and have a discussion in public, and some people can't handle that.
My biggest fear at this point, I mean, you know, for me, it's I mean, I felt like I know the guy. I really did. I can tell you, I've cried several times during this week. You know, he's got a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, and they were there, which I didn't know for a couple of days until after, that they were sitting front row. So his wife and children witnessed this firsthand, and the amount of people that celebrated this, I am gratified to hear that a ton of them are losing their jobs and are being canceled themselves, as I think rightfully so they should be. We as a country, we can't, you know, and everybody wants to talk about it. I talked about this earlier when we were talking. Everybody wants to talk about, well, no one deserves to die for a difference of opinion, this and that. They want to really tie it to the political thing. This guy was murdered. We can't celebrate murder in any way, shape, or form at all, no matter what. And everybody wants to tie it to this whole discourse thing, which is secondary, in my opinion. The guy was murdered.
Well, yes, but how is the ideological stuff secondary? Because I got a clip here from Benny Johnson, another commentator, who actually sums up pretty good how the left starts to demonize certain people and works up others to do something about it.
See, now that's the same. This is an individual. And as much as everybody wants to make it left and right and this and that, yeah,
can you go back and say responsibility for doing this or that? I mean, I disagree. This guy grew up in a very stable family. I mean, we haven't even talked about that. His dad was a law enforcement for decades. Everybody that they talked to, nice family, good family, spent a ton of time with the kids, conservative family, loving family, this and that. You know, the one thing that I think Charlie would be screaming about right now, which is one of his really favorite topics when he would go to college, is college is a scam. And of course, these kids that are spending tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to college would go, you know, what the hell are you talking about? Well, and his viewpoint really was, if you're not going to be an engineer or a doctor, you're wasting your money. And he kind of proved it, because this guy knew more about stuff, and I mean a wide variety of stuff, than these college kids that were like literally taking those classes. He was he had a word for it. It was a crazy word, where you're self-educated. Somebody should look that up. But he could debate with anybody. And his premise was, I go into every debate knowing that I could be wrong and wanting, change my mind, change my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen very often. You were going to talk about dad in the room. This kid did this on his own. We'll talk about later about the fact that, you know, the trans thing is part of this situation. But, you know, this was a college thing. He was his friends and family even said, just in the last year or year and a half, his political viewpoints changed radically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about the assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Charlie.
No, not Charlie. But, the fact that his opinions changed after he went to college. And that's, you know, that's kind of what our college...
What I like about the videos that I've seen of Charlie Kirk is that he would ask questions that encourage people to think. And when they would, he would say, well, what do you want? And they would voice it. And he said, do you believe that the left or the last administration actually helped you
do that,
get closer to that thing?
Yeah.
Like, how can you explain that you're closer to that thing that you want based on the political system that you're promoting right now? And like I said, he spoke out against the right and Republicans pretty often on certain things that he didn't agree with.
I mean, if we're going to talk about left and right, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that, you know, one of his favorite questions was, well, what is a woman? And that always was very interesting debates, right? And some people would say ridiculous stuff like, well, whatever you want, it's however you identify or whatever you want to be. It's like...
And
someone who identifies as a woman.
Yeah, that's a woman.
Like, yeah, well, right. he had great...
sex and gender are different. Well, are they?
Great ways of bringing out the details of those kind of conversations. He did that, the same thing with the unborn. You know, when does a person become a human? Like, when do they become an individual that has rights as well? And they had a hard time having an intellectual exchange of information with him, because he was really brilliant when it came to a lot of things. His knowledge base, his ability to process information, his recall was insane. And he's only 31 years old, never finished college, but he said, I want to ask the right questions, and then I want to research it and get to the bottom of things. And you know, it's like somebody I know very closely says, you never want to have a discussion with somebody who's emotional, because you'll never be able to prove anything to somebody who's emotional, because their emotions are the highest priority in the conversation. And so reason won't work with them.
They're not thinking anymore.
Yeah. And he was trying to get people to think. Back to thinking.
Yes.
Which I really loved about him.
So
he made me think about things differently.
That's one of my biggest fears and biggest problems right now is TPUSA. Well, I think it's going to blow up. I think it's now going to become more of a thing. The problem is,
what's going to become more of a thing?
TPU.
Turning Point USA.
Yeah,
Yeah, well, ever which since, is the name of the organization that he started when he was 18. And it's been going on for 13 years, and they have followers all over the world.
But the problem is the chair. Who's going to sit in that chair?
Well,
he is such a unique individual, and his skill set was such that who's going to pick up that
baton? It will be a cluster of people that will do it. Maybe one will kind of separate itself from that group, but no, it's going to be a group effort going forward. After her speech the other night, they're already getting flooded with requests from other campuses to have more chapters. I mean, it's already blowing up.
It's going to blow up, but the problem is,
It's growing exponentially.
Who's going to wear the crown?
It will be, if worst case, it's a collective effort going forward. And best case, somebody from that group kind of rises up and takes over.
He's surrounded by a bunch of brilliant people. He really was.
He was. And his wife even talked about the fact that he was so good at picking those people. However, he had a very, very, very unique skill set. I know.
Yeah, he's one of a kind.
We lost that, and that's so unfortunate. Because again, now you hear more and more people talking about years ago, saying that when they had him on their talk show or this or that, oh my goodness, that's going to be one of our next presidents.
Mm-hmm.
People said that years ago.
Yeah,
I saw he went on Bill Maher's show. And to watch those two discuss civilly was just great entertainment.
I loved it.
And it was also informative. And they ended happy and, all right, let's do this again. And
he made Bill Maher less of an asshole.
Well,
which is pretty hard to do.
Which is pretty hard to do. And again, because he was sitting there, I think Bill Maher was a little bit more reasonable based on the way he frames it and the way he has these discussions.
Bill Maher's actually speaking out on Charlie Kirk's behalf now since the assassination. So
now I know you want to separate things this from left and right, but I still think that the brainwashing on the left does play a role. And if the shooter did change his ideology once he got to college, once he was hanging out in Reddit and Discord, etc., I don't know if you can discount that. So I want to play this clip from Benny Johnson, and I want to get your take on it because...
They made it political.
Right.
The assassination made it political.
Well, exactly.
It didn't need to be.
Right. And then, of course, the reaction of the left when they're celebrating, etc. So I want to play this.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I want to get your take on it because I think you might...
go ahead.
Might have an issue. Hang on.
Real quick, Coach, I think autodidact is the word you're thinking of.
That's the word.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Self-taught.
And the playbook is quite
self-educated.
Simple. You demonize at a corporate media level. You call everyone Hitler and fascist and irredeemable and deplorable. Then you fund groups to organize against those people who you've demonized. Then you arm them. You ensure that they have a militia-style mindset. This is done through TikTok and mass formation psychosis and the allowance of left-wing violence and the promotion of Luigi-style left-wing murderous terrorism. You lionize and venerate like the transgender shooter that just massacred children in Minneapolis. You hop people up on pharmaceuticals and drugs to make them out of their mind. And then you say you'd be a hero if you went and shot Hitler.
Now, he said this on Megyn Kelly's show. I'm going to stop it there at 1:13. I can play more if we want to go further. But what do you think so far?
So you arm them? So how is the left arming their militia? I don't agree with almost anything he said.
Somehow they're getting weapons. I mean,
no, that's not what he said. You arm them?
He made it sound like there was a serious effort to...
He said that. You arm them.
Yeah.
How is the left arming them? I think that's bullshit. You feed them drugs? How is the left doing that? I don't think that's a left-right thing.
Well, no. A lot of these shooters, though, they're on mind-altering drugs to...
But the left did that to them?
I'm just asking.
No, he said it. Yeah. I'm saying I think it's bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't blame the left for that. And then he started talking about TikTok. That's not a left thing either.
No, that's a cultural thing. Well, but hang on, though. There is a lot of left-wing propaganda on TikTok.
There's a lot of right-wing propaganda on it, too.
Indeed, there is. But now, if you are left or right and you're consuming that information, is that not changing you and making you see things in a certain way that makes you want to go and do something?
Can you point a finger?
Well, so, Coach...
Hold on, let me finish. Left or right... In that regard, that's a cultural problem. Mm-hmm. That's all of our problems. It's not a left thing or a right thing. The fact that, you know, again, these stupid supercomputers that we all have, mm-hmm. everybody knows how much it drives me crazy when people have their nose in them. You know, that's a cultural thing, left or right. If you allow your children, especially your children, mm-hmm. to have their nose in that stupid thing on TikTok way too young, way before they can... possibly process this amount of information. It's not left. It's not right. It's cultural. We, as America, you know, forget about the world. Us, we have allowed this. We have promoted it left, right, middle, period. So I don't think it's a left or right thing. I think the right does it every bit as much as the left does. And, you know, again, I'm glad I'm not raising children right now. Mm-hmm. My children... Yes. We're on the front end of that. I didn't allow them to have phones, and when they did have phones, they didn't have their nose in them, or I took them away. We had a basket at the dinner table. I literally did that. Here's the basket. Put your phone in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a coach. I still do it to this day with my soccer players. Right. I have U19 soccer players. If they're on their phone, I take it away, mm-hmm. and then their mommy has to come get it from them. Not their daddy and not them. Their mommy.
Right.
And they're U19. So mommy's not at practice. And sometimes mommy's got to make a special trip to come see me to get their damn phone back. Okay. That's no lie.
Okay. So Scott, awesome. Ziggy, do you have a different idea?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's totally a left thing. I mean, the prevalence of violence on the left is overwhelmingly one-sided compared to violence on the right. And while they're, I mean, weaponizing or giving them pharmaceuticals, I don't know that that's happening. Like, they're actually giving them weapons, but they are promoting them going and getting weapons. They might not be giving them drugs or things like that.
So what are they doing to promote the use. That? How are they doing that?
Well, they're doing it through chat rooms and discussions, and they get connected with people, and they say, hey, if we pay you some money, will you go protest at this event?
Yeah. Paid protesters.
And make sure you cause trouble. I mean, paid agitators has been proven over and over again.
That's happened. No doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's okay for us to say that this exists, and it is part of the cultural problem that you're talking about.
But I'm not going to say that the right hasn't done similar things as well.
Yeah, but it's the percentage.
It's more prevalent on the left, and I agree with that.
I mean, it's 90-10.
I don't have enough numbers and statistics to make that comment, but
Charlie Kirk would.
Yeah, he would. Sure, if Charlie was here, he would spew that out with numbers, and I don't have it. I'm just saying, you know, again, first and foremost, this is an unbelievable tragedy. The guy was murdered, and that's first and foremost. Yeah. And just, you know, he was talking about the trans person that killed all those. Charlie had a famous quote talking about Second Amendment, and he said, and people on the left, and if we're going to talk about left and right, I will certainly talk about the fact that it is unbelievable the amount of lefties, libs, libtards that are celebrating this. I am happy to hear about how many are getting canceled and fired.
Well, I have something on that here, and that is one thing that I think one of the reasons why I've kind of cooled off here is that the left is revealing their true character, or at least the radical left, as Mr. Trump might say.
Actually, I don't think it's so much just radical. Again, MSNBC, I guess they are kind of radical.
But. We can get to that in a second. But an author pal of mine named Larry Correa, science fiction author, he did post this on Facebook. He says, and then this will go back into the folks getting fired, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he says, you're missing the big picture. When there's a killing, the left always tries to assign the killer to the right. We're used to it, and the vast majority of the right always overwhelmingly condemns the killer. Only this time, all the moderate normie Republicans out there saw millions of liberals celebrate and justify the brutal murder of a man, all because that man held beliefs similar to theirs, beliefs that regular Americans consider completely normal and common sense. These normal folks were going about their day, then they saw something shockingly brutal, and before they could even process it, all their liberal friends were dancing in the blood and gleefully justifying it. He deserved it for being X and Y. And that normal person realized that they also believe X and Y, so them getting murdered could be a possibility too. So, how do you think that is influencing the reaction? Before we get to all the people being fired here. I mean, is the left kind of displaying this apocryphal behavior and now turning people away or destroying themselves?
That's been the case all along. We have culturally entertained idiocy, lunacy. We've embraced it as a culture. And that's the thing that Charlie was the leader at. There are two genders. For us to even entertain something other than that is lunacy. It's psycho. And he wasn't afraid to say there are men and women, and that's what there are. But we as a culture, okay, now we're going to use pronouns. We're going to do this. We've allowed it. We allowed it. And everybody's so – and there was a period of time. I don't even know what the years were, but truly where people on the right, everybody was so afraid of being labeled a racist or a homophobe or a transphobe or a this phobe or a that phobe. And would it silence people? Charlie didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no.
So is the reaction to the reaction going to be that people aren't going to stay silent anymore, that we're going to get louder?
I think it's that it may start to change our culture. Mm-hmm. He was talking about what's the difference between blackface and being trans? What's the difference?
Yeah, he did pose that logical question as a comparison.
I'm a woman, so I'm going to put some bolt-ons on. how is that different than I'm going to make my face black and I'm now black?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the difficulty is the two groups are vastly different and value vastly different things, and we will always get in trouble when we paint a group, a sect, with one broad stroke of all lefts think this way, all rights act this way, trans are this, this ethnicity is that. You can never do that. Every person's an individual, and there are plenty of left people who are denouncing this and think this is a tragedy and that he should be brought to justice and the whole thing.
You know, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, I just told you about Bill Maher.
Well, no, there have been a few. It's been very quiet. It has been drowned out by the dancing.
Gabbing nuisance, as much as I can't stand the guy, his statement was perfect. We do not promote violence in any way. This is a tragedy, should never have happened, and this is wrong. We've got to be better. You know, there are people that are, maybe they're just saying the right things.
But, I was going to say, I distrust him to the level that I don't believe anything like that he would say. I think that almost everything that comes out of that hole in his face is to promote his political career. I don't trust him. I don't trust anything he says.
Let's get to some of the reactions here from The Hill. Teachers, firefighters, elected officials, and even a cable news contributor have lost their jobs or are under investigation after comments they made about the assassination. Reports of teachers and school administrators around the country being put on leave proliferated Thursday, less than 24 hours after Kirk's death. School employees in Tennessee, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Mississippi, and Ohio are all being investigated for posts made on social media. One teacher in South Carolina was fired for a post about Kurth's death. Quote, thoughts and prayers to his children, but imho, America became greater today. There I said it. Another teacher and city councilor in Oregon wrote that the assassination really brightened up my day, landing him in hot water.
Oh, my goodness.
Public relations employee for the National Football League's Carolina Panthers was terminated, according to the Athletic, after reportedly posting on his personal Instagram account, quote, why y'all sad? Your man said it was worth it, with an image of the Wu-Tang hit Protect Your Neck. Scott, do you know that song?
No, I don't know that song.
And then Matthew Dowd, an MSNBC contributor, was also fired by the network for comments he made on the air during the breaking news coverage.
And that was right on the front end.
Yeah, and there's another thing, too. I think
that should be stated, what he said.
I don't have the quote.
Basically,
who?
That's the guy that said, well, we don't know if this is a Trump supporter shooting his gun in the air in celebration.
Well, there's also this quote from Dowd. He was constantly pushing this sort of hate speech aimed at certain groups, Dowd said, according to The Hill. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then leads to hateful actions. You can't say these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place.
I don't remember Charlie saying anything with hate ever in all the times that I listened to him the years.
Now, along with this, there's been a huge effort on Twitter to identify the people in these social media posts that we're celebrating to kind of basically expose them and dox them. And there is a whole website.
There are people making it their life's work right now.
Yeah. That kind of love. There is a whole website where they're cataloging all this called Charlie's Killers. I think that's, I want to say charlieskillers.com, but that's not, it is, oh, booger. I'm going to find it here eventually. But yeah, there's a whole searchable website where you can scroll through, see the people that have said these awful things, and then either go to their social media accounts and roast them or not. And a lot of people are doing it, and it's amusing. You know, as far as retaliation goes, that kind of satisfies me a little bit, and it's like, okay, maybe you have free speech, you aren't free from the consequences, so now we are administering consequences to your outrageousness. And if this is how we start to fight back and silence some of the outrage in the culture here that we've allowed to fester, then maybe that's a good thing. Any comments?
Well, I mean, again, on the left, it's like they want to complain about Palestine and complain about you know, I was listening to one of the, I think Cambridge, one of the England debates. This guy was talking about, you know, and Charlie was talking about, yeah, there's in war, there are casualties, civilian casualties, and then we didn't finish that whole part about, yeah, he had a thing about, yeah, with the Second Amendment, there's going to be deaths. They're hanging their hat on that as well. Oh, see. Well, you're that guy.
Yeah, he predicted it.
Yeah. But
or
promoted it.
Well, they're trying to act like he asked for it.
Yeah, promoted.
Which is heinous.
Yeah,
thought.
It's just awful. But he believed it. He did, and he said it multiple times. It's like, that's going to happen. Just like, you know, when you got Hamas having their headquarters in hospitals and schools and mosques, thinking that they can have their operation there and they'll be hidden or they'll be protected from all this. It's like, yeah, no, it's not that way. And yeah. But so they want to complain and lament those, what they're calling murders, but then they want to celebrate Charlie's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, come on.
The website is charliesmurderers.com. They've collected nearly 30,000 submissions so far, and they're looking for social media posts that celebrate the killing, and the site won't load right now, but
it's probably getting too much activity.
It probably is, yeah, but anyway. So, yeah, that is the backlash so far, and maybe that's where it should stay. I don't know.
Well, we were talking earlier about what would Charlie say? How would he want us to respond to this. And I saw him in multiple interviews talk to people who said, you know, our culture does this and these group, this group does that. And he says, well, the question we should be asking is what can you do yourself to make yourself better? Like, how can you make things better? What can you go and do to produce something or heal something? Like, work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key to this whole thing. I'm not necessarily for people getting doxxed and losing their jobs and things for that, because that just feels like it's just retribution and it's more of the same on a smaller level. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I mean, they're not losing their lives, but they're losing too. For us to celebrate that, I think it's the same vein of them celebrating his death.
So let's say it's extreme pushback. Okay, so should there have been it's. And part of the reason it's extreme is because it's delayed. We've let them get away with stuff so long that now we have to go to an extreme to push back.
Well, so now it is a powder keg that finally might be going off. Right.
So if we go too far to start, what if we pull back a little bit but continue the pressure to counteract the cancer in the culture that the left represents? Because it's like, I may have cooled off, but I still hate the Sons of Guns.
is that we have cooler heads prevail.
Okay.
You know, let's evaluate each of these things on an individual basis. Are they causing damage? Are they abusing something or someone? And then let's find a remedy for that. But just to go out and just, you know, reciprocate with some kind of hate and, oh, we're going to take your job and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's unhealthy mentality for your everyday, for me, your everyday Joe. Now, at the same time, if I'm running an organization and my employee does something that poorly represents my company, well, now we got an HR issue and you're probably not going to be employed with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is not a cancel you thing or punish you thing. This is a, hey, you no longer align with where we're going with our organization. And so we're going to give you the freedom to go and.
Right, because where you do align.
Yeah, go find a place where you align.
Well, because it's not just the individuals that are being targeted. It's their companies and their schools. And, I mean, the pressure's coming on everybody. It's like someone who works for you or teaches for you, et cetera, said these things. What are you going to do about it? And it's kind of...
But that's what social pressure is. And yeah. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a cultural thing. Again, I don't think that's left or right. I think that's, hey... This is a murder, and if you're going to celebrate that, we as a culture are saying, no, mm-hmm. no, in any shape or form, no, we're not doing that. And I think that's wonderful.
Well, we call it evil. We call it wrong.
No, it
we
is
call
evil, it bad. And we're, right. And we're now we're just saying that's evil.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And in doing so, we are.
Changing the culture.
Well, we are also promoting the same thing that got us in this position is people saying he's wrong, he's bad, he's evil. Now, we would say that's untrue. But we're kind of doing the same thing when we start to make rules. We're manipulating behavior and we're setting boundaries. I mean, freedom has its limits, right? And there has to be more discussion and like somebody, I would love to have a conversation with somebody who is way out there on this and disagrees with me totally that they think his death is a good thing. I want to have a discussion with them and see if I can't talk them back into the room rather than just punish them.
One of the things he used to talk about is
a punishment. Usually it might stop the behavior, but it doesn't change their thinking. In fact, it usually hardens their thinking, and now they're going to escalate to the next level.
I don't want to change their thinking. I want to put them in a camp.
Well, you know? One of the things he used to love to talk about is what's your point of reference? What's mm-hmm. wrong and what's right?
Yeah, well, and that's why I say all the time on our show, where's dad? You know, we talk about crazy, stupid stories, and I think where's the dad in the room that like brings sense and
he maintained
responsibility
that was a biblical thing. That without some standard about wrong and right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say the Bible doesn't exist. Jesus Christ doesn't exist. Who's going to decide? Where's the decision about what's wrong and what's right?
Well, and that's what I really loved about his style of communication is that although he was a staunch Christian believer, most of his arguments were science-based or logic-based, so that who he's talking with, they don't have to push back on the religious side.
Yeah, because, I don't believe that. Yeah. Because he always started there.
Yeah. But he's trying to speak with them on their turf, which I love.
Yeah.
And before we miss out, there was a dad in this story, because this kid, the assassin's dad, figured out what was going on, and he brought the kid in, set him in front of a priest or a pastor, and then they went and they turned themselves in. And I'm celebrating that dad, and I feel bad for him.
I mean,
I'm proud of him, but he's got a rough road ahead.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that's it for us. We are out of time, and I've blown off our usual wrap up with.
It's a special show.
Hey, yeah, let's end with this,
though. Okay, go for it.
This is from Charlie Kirk. The truth is that while those on the left, particularly the far left, claim to be tolerant and welcoming of diversity, in reality, many are quite intolerant of anyone not embracing their radical views.
Good way to end it.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. And by the way, guys, I'm not going to Texas week after next, so we can continue all the way through. So my wife's going by herself. We still have a tremendous mess to clean up with her late father, and I'll be rejoining them later on. So that is it for us today. And Mary, it's time to throw your hat in the air.
Y'all be good to each other.
Meow.